question was asked, why is there so much anti-Semitism? So Maimonides answers that based on a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, and the word Sinai comes from the word Sina, hatred. That the minute we accepted the Torah, the nation started hating us. Imagine a parent has 5 kids, and he offers each of the kid to be a partner in his business. And they all decline. And then there's one that says, I'll do it. And now he's a partner. So the other ones look at him and say, you idiot. And he says, what do you want? You guys could have done it too. What did I do to you? You could have done it. You were off. And you could still do it. I'll let you join the business. But I don't want to join the business. But I don't want you to get all the money. I don't want to join, but I don't want you to have more than I do. Right? The Rambam says that's where anti-Semitism comes from. Now, that's one answer. In Judaism, you will find we often have a few answers to the same question. And one of the questions that you always have to ask yourself is, are the answers mutually exclusive? Meaning sometimes each answer addresses a different point, or addresses a different level of interpretation, or a different level of the question. Answer number one was what we just said. There's an element of jealousy. There's an element of jealousy that's unexplained, because they could all become converts. We don't tell them stay out. We tell them come on in. And you should know that's a revolutionary concept. If you learn world history, you see that for almost a millennium, there wasn't any other nation in the world that afforded such privileges to anyone who wanted to join them. It didn't exist. You know, if you were one of mine, so then you had the benefits. You were a citizen. If you weren't, tough noogies. You know, you come to the U.S., you have 15 lines for citizens and 3 lines for non-citizens. Everyone can wait. Right? Same thing with Israel. 15 lines for citizens and the non-citizens, you guys all wait in the heat. And they always keep the air conditioning like 2 notches down, right? You notice that? You got to sweat while you're standing there. But no, Torah gives us commandment time and again. You almost every 3 parashas, you have the commandment all over again. Be kind to the convert, treat him well. Be kind to the convert, treat him well. You can't go 3 parashas in the Torah without being reminded you should treat them well. Revolutionary. But they still hate us. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Halachai, it's a tradition we have, Esav son el Yaakov, that there's this enmity that's just not going to change. Now why? That it doesn't say in the Talmud. It says in the Rishonim. You can listen to our Toshot Aran classes. We have a long piece that we studied on that as to why it is so. That there is an aspect where Hashem created 2 forces in the world that are diametrically opposed, and they cannot come to terms with one another. And that is Esav and Yaakov. It doesn't address Yishmael, but it's Esav and Yaakov, the Christians and the Jews. And there's a certain element where you can't have both on top. There's a reason why the Christian church refused to admit our existence from the time we came to the state of Israel. And they spent all the time originally saying, first they were silent, because they kept saying, you know why the Jews are suffering, because they killed Jesus. So now, wait a second, how'd they get a state? So the first thing they said was, it's not going to last. It's going to be destroyed. Then it lasted. So then they were stuck. So then they said, well, they don't have Bethlehem, and they don't have Jerusalem, and they don't have Hebron, and they don't have the real Israel. Then came the Six-Day War. Now they were stuck again. So they were silenced again. And then they came up with a new thing. That's why ever since then, they've been pushing for Jerusalem to be an international city, and they keep pushing for us to give it back. What's their interest? Because it's against their theology. They're going to lose by it. They know that if they give it to the Muslims will destroy anything Christian. Doesn't matter. But they have a problem philosophically. They kept saying that the reason we're down is because we didn't accept him. Now that we're not so down, they have a problem. So every solution they came up with was destroyed. So what's the remaining solution? To tell us to give it up. Jerusalem has to become an international city. It's not just ours. Because then they could at least have some kind of an answer to what they've been saying. But at any rate, so there's a second answer that the Talmud tells us. Halachahi, it's a tradition. It's the way God created the world. Esav son el Yaakov. There's going to be this enmity that's continuous till the end of time, or till the Messiah. And that is, it doesn't say why in the Talmud, but some of the Rishonim explain that you see from the way the Torah describes that they were fighting in utero. That means that their nature is going to be to clash. That they're not going to be able to live together. It's a Edom. How is Esav born? Red-skinned, filled with hair, murderer. How is King David born? Red-skinned. And he grows up and he's got a lot of hair. And he's a murderer. And so when God tells Samuel, go anoint him as king, so Samuel the prophet looks at him and he shudders. He says, I see Esav. He's the Jewish king. God says, look at his eyes. Look into his eyes. You'll see he doesn't kill anyone that doesn't deserve to be killed. There's a pivotal difference between Esav and David. They're both murderers. They both have it in them to kill. The Talmud says that King David would swipe the sword and kill 800 people in a shot. That's quite a number, you know. It's not like shooting a machine gun. That's one swipe, and you're swiping off 800 heads. I don't know how you do that. That's some arm, you know. Okay. And what does King David say? God, I thought it says in the Torah you could do 1,000 in a swipe. Why didn't I get 1,000? Okay, David was, tough as nails. But he only did it where it was halachically, morally correct. And that's a cosmic difference between David and Esav. They both have the strength of being able to kill. So we have to discuss that Esav had tremendous potential too. Esav could have been a giant in Torah. He chose to go the other route. But at any rate, so those are two answers. And as we learn more, perhaps we'll explore some more answers. What we see, though, is that being more like them never resolves the issue. Because they always know that intrinsically we're the chosen people. So you're not going to resolve anything. All those people who tried to be more like the enemy, they were killed and tortured, and they suffered the same consequences as us throughout our history. And the last story was in Auschwitz, where the last train was all those people who tried to assimilate. And they didn't make it out. And they had the same enmity. Yeah.
We tend to mirror them. We tend to mirror them. And they don't like what they see, essentially. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.